According to John chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So when they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. But among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow watchers, amen. Boy, I got to tell you, Journey to Christmas was fascinating this year. I mean, it's always been pretty interesting because I decided when I first got here that I would be the guy in the coffee shop just kind of doing the old-fashioned FaceTime, having some conversations. But I got to tell you, the conversations this year were different. And I don't know quite why, but, you know, you learn a lot when you just kind of do the, get the feedback after the experience is over. I've got to tell you that I've seen a lot of live nativities in my life, and there is no live nativity like ours. It does a beautiful job. But I started hearing, when I first got, I heard about the camels and the live nativity, but I got to tell you, over the years I learned, and I did the research, because I just listened, you know, it's fascinating, that Bethlehem Village is just as popular as the live nativity. Now, for you camel lovers, sorry, there's just not that many that are, I mean, there are a few that just, "Oh, those camels, man, they show up for the camel, you know. And I had no one say anything bad about not having the camels. Sorry, just telling you. But it's fascinating. It's fascinating. Of course, in true Lutheran theology, we say, well, it's nice to have Bethlehem Village, but, you know, it's a depiction of something we really weren't around, but it's a nice one. It's a good one. What people really love about Bethlehem Village is the fact that it was teaching. There were things to learn and to be a part of, and people love that. But, of course, our live nativity hits it out of the park because we present to them the gospel. And it was, once again, very, very enjoyable to be the recipient, at the recipient end of all of your hard work, to get the feedback from the people. Now, certainly, we're getting a lot more feedback these days than we used to, and because there's a lot of different ways to give it. And so thank the Lord for our delving into all of that to get that kind of feedback. But I got to tell you, there was a theme that we were catching. Max helped me, and all the canned goods. We got all kinds of canned goods. If you want to see the canned goods, just go to the landing there between the fellowship hall and the church building. It got so heavy in my car that when I backed out, the bottom of the car hit the curb, and I was wondering if I was going to get stuck getting out. But I made it, and we unloaded in good, quick time. But it was fascinating. We also had Glenn Dowdy with us. He's a Gideon. He comes here every once in a while and shares with us the ministry of the Gideons. But there were some themes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this. And prayer requests. We got some written down, and people would say, "Well, just pray that we have a better new year." You know, amen. And it was fascinating to kind of see the heaviness. Thank you for doing this. You know, we weren't sure if you were going to do it. You know, we have our regular guests, our regular people that show up. You know, now they realize me. "Oh, hey, Pastor Stace." You know, it's like, okay, I can't remember your name, but, you know, nice to have you here. Oh, yeah, this is the 15th year, and you know, we get those longtime guests that show back up, and it's so cool to have that. Had a lady say, I was not prepared for this. And thank you so much for this. I said, you're welcome. It was so cool. And some just were so thankful. We had a young couple drive through, and you know, my rhetoric, my pastoral language is, thank you for making us a part of your journey to Christmas. You know, I'd like to give you some candy canes. You got any canned goods, cash donations and whatnot? And I don't know what the deal was. I would change it up. Sometimes I would forget to ask for canned donations. They'd say, well, don't you want canned donations? You know, it was really cute. Because, you know, they were here. They wanted to be a part of this. It was beautiful. But when this little car with this couple pull in, and I say, so how'd you like the journey? And he said right away, I'm not a Christian. And his girlfriend said, I'm praying. And you know, she's smiling, look, I'm glad it took him. I'm sure he came kicking and screaming. But he did it. He went along to go along, I guess. And I said, I hope that this journey will mess with you in a good way. And he smiled. And she just beamed. It was so cool. She, amen, she said. And then off they drove. You know, it's so fascinating to have these kind of these experiences where you get this serendipitous opportunity to interact, and I've got to tell you, it's just such a joy to do that. And you know, the downside of all this really good news is people were heavy with, man, this is, you know, I don't know how many times people mentioned to us COVID, or, you know, I'm just so glad you did this. We didn't think you were going to do this. And you know, no one praised us for the precautions. I mean, we did have people that drove right through. I mean, we could tell. They even wanted to take out some of the cones because they just wanted to go. But they showed up, praise the Lord. They were just, I mean, there's just this huge blanket over us all. And so I don't think it's out of order to suggest that while the COVID Grinch that has been stealing 2020 and has Christmas in its target is trying its best, COVID is not as big as our God. And COVID can't touch what our God has done and what he can do as we go with him through this journey, who is along this journey with us. And saying that, I say it with confidence because of what Christ has done for us. What Jesus is willing to do. We told the story. Trust in that story. And take to heart that Jesus changes everything. What Christ came and did that we had the privilege to proclaim Friday night and Saturday changes everything. We now have, because of him, the gift of hope. Not that life is going to be easy, but we know that God is going to bring us through various things. And we're going to think about this more in a few moments. We also have peace. Our war with God is over. God's no longer angry with any of you for Christ's sake. He loves you. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can rejoice because of what Christ has done. And so, if you will, think about John the Baptizer, what he was doing. That kind of messed with everybody. And, you know, why are you here? You know, the priests and Levites show up on behalf of the Pharisees. You know, what are you doing? He was messing with them. How can I equate this? Perhaps there's someone in your neighborhood that likes to put up the decorations really early. Anyone? Are you that person that's messing with everybody? You know, and then, you know, if people are riding with me, I say, gosh, what's with the Christmas decorations? It's not even Advent, you know, I'm the liturgical guy. I mean, you know, it's just fascinating. Fascinating. Those people are like John the Baptizer. They want to celebrate Christmas early. And it messes with people. So, You know, we were like John the Baptizer last night, helping people to see more, like John was doing, showing them that there's more. It's more than the parties and the presents and the lights. There's so much more. And so we had the privilege to do that. And that's because of what Christ has done. And so your life and my life look different. And it's because of that that we can share a different kind of message that changes lives that COVID can't touch. Oh, COVID will try in all kinds of ways. It's almost like we're dealing with all kinds of pandemics right now. We're certainly dealing with a virus pandemic, but there's a fear, and there's kind of just a hopelessness and a helplessness. As our music minister said, there's some real issues going on. And yet we know as believers that Christ can take care of it. Indeed, he has. It's just about us in real time. And that's the only way you can live faith out, in real time, experience his blessings. And to that, Paul speaks today, which is the focus of our meditation, titled Prepared for Christ's Arrival. You know, we can look forward to it because everything necessary has been done. But there are things that we can occupy ourselves with. Indeed, the Lord would have us do so that we can do more than just grind our way through 2020, but actually rejoice and find opportunities in it through 2020 and not just wish for it all to end. I mean, to be sure, I'm sure plenty of us would like to see it just go, but why not try to enjoy it and find some hope and peace and joy in it as well? And to that, Paul speaks today in our epistle reading. I'd like to work through it briefly. Paul says to the church, rejoice always. Do I have to? Paul says, rejoice always. There's a place for us to say, that really hurts. Or, why did that have to happen? Yes, I'm feeling a little beat down at the end of 2020. It's okay to say that, unless you're a glutton for punishment. There's a place to say. But rejoice always in the Lord, right? Pray without ceasing. So the challenge to find joy in the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That might be a message you have to preach to yourself. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's a good sermon. But then pray. So where are you finding yourself getting alarmed or shocked or zapped? We were doing some laundry yesterday, and I didn't realize there was a knitted blanket in there. And we dried the laundry, and I figured I'd help grab the laundry, and I got a shock unlike a shock I've had for decades from the laundry. You know, remember back in the day when that would happen a lot? And it literally hurt for like an hour. I kept anything I touched. Ooh! Ouch. You know, there's a place to say that hurts. But then there's a place to say, Lord, you're my strength. And there are plenty of bigger things than shocks from laundry that you and I deal with in our life. Amen? And so the challenge is to say, okay, Lord, you're my strength. I need to rejoice in you, and I need to pray about this. You know, I mean, think about it. One of the biggest challenges is oftentimes we try to go it alone. You know, And the Lord says, come to me, talk with me. And so pray with the Lord. When things are preying on your mind, guess what you need to be doing with the Lord? Talking with him about it. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do I have to? Well, we're supposed to. Now, again, there's a place to say, this just is not good. And Houston, we have a problem. But those very places can be God's greatest opportunities to do what? I know you think I'm crazy. But those places are the biggest places where God has the opportunity to do what? To bless us, to be glorified, to rebuild things, to do new things. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And then he really explains why. This is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. How do you want to get through the rest of 2020 in hope and peace and joy? By rejoicing always in the Lord, praying about everything and anything, and giving thanks in all circumstances. Thank you, Lord, that I've got to deal with what I've got to deal with. At least I have you with me, and I know you'll bless me. I mean, this is the way faith thinks. This is how faith talks. But then, you know, Paul talks about something else. And you know, it's interesting. I feel so bad for some of my friends in some of those states where everything is being so locked down. You know, we need to be around each other. We need to be encouraged. We need God's word. And it's so wonderful for us to be able to sing songs and listen to scriptures and talk with each other. And there's a reason why this is the case. And Paul explains that here next. He says, do not quench the Spirit. So that's kind of like a lead category. Now, what does that look like? Do not quench the Spirit. So the implication there is we can. That we can shut the Holy Spirit's work within us down. And so Paul goes on and explains. Do not despise prophecies. Okay, it's a technical term. Prophecy means that which comforts and encourages and admonishes. Do not despise prophecies. Being encouraged in devotions, singing songs, listening to the scriptures, reading devotions, reading books, that kind of stuff. But there's a caveat there. And we'll look at that in just a minute. You know, a lot of the activity that a husband has with his wife is to encourage and comfort. Do not despise that. Parenting oftentimes is comforting and admonishing and encouraging. That's something that the Spirit wants us to do. Do not quench that. The challenge is that these things need to be tested. They need to be discerned. Paul explains it. But test everything, everything. All the stuff you read or hear or think about, all the stuff you sing, you need to test everything. So every once in a while in my ministry, I've had kids in youth groups, and so we play some crazy rock and roll music Pastor Stace used to like, and I would say, you know, isn't it crazy how close he gets to actually looking to the one who is the one who can be his love? Or let's play some Christian music and let's see how they fail to articulate the gospel. One of the times we did that here at St. Paul, one of the kids said, you know, you could just as easily play that music on a secular radio station than you can and call it Christian because they don't talk about Jesus. So in other words, test everything. Is this giving you, like the live nativity, the gospel, the good news? Or is it just, you know, missing the mark and not necessarily encouraging and comforting? Well, Paul says even more. He says, test everything. Hold fast what is good. And then he says, abstain from every form of evil. I mean, could it be that some of the things that we take in and hear is something that we actually need to abstain from? Could it be that some of the conversations parents have with kids are more evil than good, depending on how those conversations are going? Could it be that the kind of conversations that siblings have with each other can be more evil than good? Could it be that a husband and wife talk in ways that don't serve good, but serve evil? Abstain from the evil, hold to the good. Because in truth, who are the ones, technical term, prophesying to one another? We are, in all kinds of different ways. In all kinds of ways. I served a congregation, right, came to it right after the vacancy, and we talked about Advent, and I could tell that the pastor did a good job of showcasing Advent because they were terrified of it. And so, you know, I said, well, I sure hope he preached the gospel. You know, there may be times when I preach the law and the gospel and all you hear is the law, and you better say, okay, pastor, I need to hear the gospel from you. I mean, this is the dynamic that we as Lutherans have in our culture, as Lutherans. We understand the value of prophecy, and we're all in this together. I do it publicly. All of you do it privately. And it's about discerning what we're hearing, what we're taking in, holding on to that which is good, and refusing that which is evil. That's how we can make it through the rest of this year than just hoping that it's over as soon as possible. Not only that, but let's think about the holidays for a few moments. I've met people, I've known people, chiefly throughout my ministry, who have just wished it would all disappear, that were Christians. Because it's so full of pressure. The expectations can be so high. The thought of the loss of the loved ones, a son, a daughter, a brother, a husband, a wife, can become so hyper-focused. Or just the expectations, can the family get along? It can get to be so over the top. How in the world do you make it through that without just holding your breath? Okay. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. And talk with fellow Christians and get some prophecy your way. Right? Because that's how we deal with all the aspects of life. And whether it's COVID, finally when we get to the place where the pandemic is over, whenever that is, there's always other things. Before COVID, there was always other things. And the way through it is understanding this kind of relationship with God and this kind of relationship with each other. Because this is the will of God for us as his own. And when he returns, we can give thanks because we are prepared. We're prepared for his return. This is how it ends, and I'll use this. Well, I'll use a different scripture. I'll end my sermon this way. Verse 23. Now may God, the God of peace himself, sanctify you completely. Isn't that cool? How many of you have been trying to make yourselves holy? Hasn't worked out so well, has it? Yeah, it doesn't work. We just become either full of despair or we become Pharisees where we think we're better than others. Again, now may the God of peace himself sanctify or make you holy completely. He can do it. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. Who in the world is going to do that? We can't do that. But the whole aspect of who and what you are can be kept blameless. And there's only one way that happens, and that's in Christ. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when Christ comes, what will you be? What are you? Holy and blameless in Christ. If you want to see what you look like, you have to look at Christ. When you look at yourself, when I look at myself, what do we see? Big time messes. But in Christ, what are we? Through faith in him, we're blameless. It's a paradox. And then Paul seals it. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will. In the name of Jesus, amen.